The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of Harris Stowe State University or Black Radio Hall of Fame.
Africans at home and throughout the diaspora, unity is strength. We've got the power.
Stop the fussing and the fighting. Now the time to do the right thing.
We need more unity.
Come.
Stop the fussing and the fighting.
Yeah.
Now the time to do the right thing.
In the spirit of Umoja, embrace with love.
Let's do it right now. We've got to do it right. Stop the fussing and the
right
fighting.
Right now, right now.
Now the time to do the right thing.
Yes, yes, this is Jamala Rogers, and we are going to do it right. We are on many, many battlefields, thanks to the people in the White House, thanks to the people in the State House. And so there are many battlefronts. There's police accountability, there's health care. There are a number of scary things that are happening. And we've been talking about some of those things, and we will continue to talk about them. But today we have some upbeat, I think upbeat, events coming up that are dear to my heart. Anytime we can go back in history and keep our heroes and sheroes alive, particularly based on what the Trump folks are doing in terms of the destruction of history, the destruction of books, the destruction of websites that mention, you know, some of our Black icons' names. So this is a scary time, and a time that we actually need to be more vigilant about preserving Black history and Black culture. So today we're honored to have Lynn Jackson, who is the great, great granddaughter of Dred Scott. And that must be such an honor. Welcome, 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 Lynn.
Thank you, Jamala. I appreciate being on your show again. We had a great time last time. I got a lot to share today.
Yes, yes, you do. Well, first of all, I want to just have you give a brief synopsis about who Dred Scott and Harriet Scott is. And I'm having to do this because every time I turn around, Lynn, there is a reminder that we can't make assumptions about what people know. So I was listening to a radio show host on social media, and this guy that was the host had to be like 40, between 40 and 45. And his guest made mention of a quote from Maya Angelou, and Lou, and he said, "Now, who is that?" And I'm like, oh, my goodness, we got work to do. We always got work to do. So let's not assume, particularly based on his age, I thought he should have known about Maya. If he was 16, might have given him a pass. But so, yeah, so let's tell the listening audience who Dred Scott is, who Harriet Scott is, and why they are important.
Okay. And you are so right about that, because I go to law firms and lawyers. You think they would get it, but they're a little vague on it too. So it always is part of the mix. But certainly Dred Scott was an enslaved person who was born in Virginia about 1799, but he ended up in St. Louis, Missouri with the Blow family, to whom household he was born to. And in St. Louis, both the husband and wife died a year apart, and they ended up selling him to Dr. Emerson, who was an army surgeon who took Dred into free territory in Illinois and in Wisconsin territories, what we now know as Minnesota and St. Paul area. And he met Harriet Robinson up there, and they both lived, married, and had a daughter while they were in this free territory. Eventually, the owner, Dr. Emerson, passed away, and then the wife, Mrs. Irene Emerson, was the owner. They didn't feel like they were going to have a good future with her, so they asked her for their freedom, because she knew that they had been in free territory, but she didn't want to do that. They offered $300, and she said no. So they went to the old courthouse downtown on April the 6th of 1846, and they promptly petitioned to sue her. They were able to do that. It took 5 years and 11 trials, including going through the Missouri Supreme Court, who usually gave freedom to the slaves with the proper documentation. And yet on March the 6th of 1857, Justice Roger B. Taney said, "No, you aren't even citizens. In fact, none of your people are, and you don't have a right to even be here." So essentially, he threw the case out, and that blows my mind. It's like after 11 years, but as the activist judge court that it was, they went further and denied the Northwest Ordinance and the Missouri Compromise, which limited slavery so that it could now be from coast to coast. And this, of course, inflamed the North as well as really activated abolitionists to the point that it ended up being a major catalyst for the Civil War. And of course, we know what happened there. What we may not know is that Lincoln was going to get out of politics and out of public life, but he said no to the Dred Scott decision and became our 16th president who helped end the war and to end slavery. So the purpose of Dred and Harriet's case, and we didn't have time today to go into their personal lives, but the tenacity and courage they had, especially on March 27, 1852, when they said in Missouri, "No, we're not going to let you all be free. We're going to kind of put a lid on this thing, by the way, going forward. The slaves aren't going to get their freedom so easily anymore, if at all." And yet they said, "No, well, we found an opportunity here through Roswell Field, whose house is right here in St. Louis on 634 South Broadway, just blocks from the old courthouse and virtually across the street from the stadium." That gentleman said, "You can try this again if you want." And that's where I really feel personally that they earned their merit, because after 6 years, they could have said, "You know, this is probably not going to go too well. Well, let's just figure out what we can make of this." But they said, "No, we're going for it."
So
And
I'm
so we.
interested if you know, Lynn, why the owner, the wife of the owner, said no. Was this just about white control, or was she angry that he was dead? I mean, what was her rationale?
Well, she's an interesting character. Sometimes I call her what do I call her? I have a few names for her. Not bad. But she
I
was,
went straight there.
yeah, I know you did. Just pull you back. See, part of it was that, okay, she's this young woman with a baby girl, really actually a fairly young infant child. Her husband died right a month after her baby girl was born. But more to the point, though, her father, Mr. Sanford, was part of the pro-slavery society here and really started the pro-slavery society in St. Louis. And so even if she had any inklings of saying, "Ah, let him go," she wouldn't have, because that was income for her. Her father and her brother were well situated and well off. And they were going to have them friends finding out that they let their slaves go free. That wasn't happening. So I think she was well influenced by her father and her brother. And back then men ruled the roost, so she didn't have much to say about it. But clearly, she left St. Louis to go find a husband, and that's a really important part of the story too when you get further down the road with it.
Yeah,
So yeah, I
sometimes
mean, but
circumstances help push,
yeah,
situations forward.
That's right. So yeah, so I kind of give her a little bit of a pass, a little bit, but on the other hand, I'm sure as a young socialite, she liked the prestige of having her own slaves or
And
servants.
I think people do have to think about the political climate at the time, particularly for women who really had no rights at that time. And so she would have been going against a sea of pro-slavery forces here in Missouri. So I don't know that she would have been strong enough to withstand that. It's probably why she left. But
Yeah, that's true. She did go to Boston.
Which was not exactly a slave state. So So I think for me, just knowing that the efforts of the foundation to keep that history alive, to keep the history and personal stories of both Dred and Harriet Scott are so important. And how they got to the old courthouse. Can you talk a little bit about that? Why they have, and then we can go into like the renovation and now the big and better exhibition of the Dred Scott exhibit.
Well, a couple of things. There was the law that was once free, always free, and that really gave them the impetus to go for it. Once free, always free said that if an enslaved person went into free territory and lived there even a short while, that they were free. And so that goes back to Louisiana law of 1804. In 1807, Missouri picked it up. And as you might know, and I know you know, but our audience may not know still, that, let's see, this is 2025, 3 years this June, we unveiled the new Freedom Suits Memorial Monument in front of the Civic Courts building downtown on 11th Street. And it has the name of over 300 enslaved persons who sued for their freedom. Of course, not all got their freedom, but they went to courts here in St. Louis and sued. And so it was known that if you had the right credentials, meaning you lived here, maybe you were tortured or beaten, or there was about five or six or seven things that had to be true for you to qualify to get a suit into the courts. And Dred and Harriet both did that. Then that would give you the right standing. And Missouri was good about that. They really were until March 22nd of 52. So Once Free, Always Free was one of the reasons. The other one I believe is that her pastor, Reverend John Anderson, who is buried in St. Peter's Cemetery, was the pastor of the, I think, the Second African Church here in St. Louis, which is now our Central Baptist Church. Harriet's name's on the rolls, and he was an abolitionist, free black man who had worked for Elijah P. Lovejoy. And that story is a whole nother,
Oh,
movie of
yeah.
its
Oh,
own.
yeah. But it's
But
interesting how these people's lives cross.
they overlap so beautifully. God just orchestrates everything. And so Reverend Anderson, being with Elijah P. Lovejoy and witnessing his murder and his home and all being burned and his printing press being thrown in the Mississippi because people didn't like the fact that he was publishing against slavery, but he had learned much from him and he knew the ins and outs. So we believe that Reverend Anderson had a great influence in encouraging them that you can do this and you have the right. Here's how it works. And so they had him. And then they had the Blow family behind them because even though he had been sold away and was gone for over a decade, they were still people who cared for Dred, honestly. They did. And that the even to this generation, there is a just a unity between the families, actually, that they helped him throughout all those years in the court cases, providing resources and funds and so forth. And so, with those three things going for him, the law, the church, and the family that used to own him, they were, encouraged and motivated and went for it. They just went for it, But yeah, they had sacrifices like hiding their girls away for an extended period of time for their safety's sake. And if you just think about the climate and the times and what was going on around them, the lynchings, other historical things that we know about in history happened during the time their cases were in the court, and they still persisted. That's another
Yeah,
angle of where the
yeah,
courage comes
yeah,
from.
yeah, yeah.
We had a lynching in Keener Plaza, but I want to be clear about the date. I can't tell you right now that it was during the years of their case, but it was right there across the street from the courthouse. So yeah, so the courage to keep going and knowing, this is the last point and we'll move on to knowing that whatever the outcome was going to affect everybody that was African American in the whole country.
Yeah,
It
I'm
was on their back.
wondering. Yeah, the I mean, here was a couple that pretty much stayed together through all this legal drama, and I'm wondering how they met and how they actually lived in terms of being able to, for one, being free, and then all of a sudden being enslaved, and then being free again. I mean, that part alone is pretty chaotic to try to get used to those various conditions.
That's true. Now, when you say they were free and then they were enslaved and then they were freed, that's actually accurate. But the first they were free was when they were in Minnesota. This is where they met. This is where they had a wedding and got married. But the freedom they had up there was because they were in free territory, not because they were free to go. They were still considered servants of the officers to whom they, quote unquote, belonged. And yet, that's another fun, complicated little journey that you could take some time about. Well, what do you mean we're free or they're slaves? And Okay, they got married. Slaves don't get married. It's really a fun thing to walk through, but in essence, legally, they should have been considered free. And yes, they came back to Missouri, and clearly then they were not. But that was the whole point of their suit, to sue for the freedom that they did have because of once free, always free, and years, not just months, but some years of having lived in free territory. And so they were just going to stake that claim and hold on to it.
Yeah. And far as I'm concerned, there are some lessons to be learned from that kind of focused tenacity right now, because we have all of these things going on where people are taking literally rights away, both constitutional rights and civil rights and human rights. And so I think, there is a sense that, some people will just buckle under to the oppression and the repression, but then there's others that for them is motivation. You know what I'm saying? And so I've just been watching how people are responding to all of the drama that's coming out of the Trump administration, and some people are throwing up their hands saying like it's nothing we could do, and other people are saying, oh no, you're not taking this away from me. This is my Social Security. This is, they are like adamant about I'm gonna fight or else. And so whenever I think about the kind of the fight that Harriet and Dred had, I just get inspired all over again.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes people ask me, and there are a lot of backstories to all of these things, but people will say, well, are you going to be able to talk about Dred Scott? I said, of course I am. And to this moment, by the way, no one has tried to stop me. No one has told me I couldn't. And I'm not going to, because there's no reason to. And I don't, I know that not everybody thinks that it should be that way. And wherever the sources are from all of this, which has been out there for some years, we just persist. We just go on, And the day somebody walks up to me and says, you can't do this, well, we'll have that discussion, but not right now.
And that was going to be one of my questions with all of the anti-black stuff that's going on, and literally just stripping libraries and like I said, websites. There was a website that had Harriet Tubman on it. They took it down, and then people like pushed back, and then it went back up. So really, this whole campaign to erase or either suppress Black history is real, and we are seeing it. And so I'm wondering, in terms of what you're doing, and maybe even some of the funding that you get, and certainly the funding that's coming to the courthouse, what does that look like? And do you think there is a opportunity here for those forces to do some damage to what the work that you all have done so diligently over the years?
Okay. Yeah, a couple of things you said there. First of all, we don't get government funding, so that's not going to impact us. I've never even gone after that. But I am on the board of the Jefferson National Parks Association. And so, clearly we want to keep our eye on what impact that has, but it has not impacted the opening of our building again. And I think everybody's going to see something happen, but the managers of those places, and in our case, we have Jeremy Sweat, who's over our national, well, I guess it's the Gateway Arch Park, Gateway Arch Park, which includes the arch and the old courthouse. And, just being on that board, I can see that, they're taking a very sound and sane approach to how to manage things, and we haven't been hurt that badly at all. So as far as pushback goes, people have to speak up, because I think that the system is so big that sometimes one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing, and if you sit quiet, then you're going to get what you get. But and to your last question, no, I don't see any impact to our work at all, and I don't foresee any. In fact, I have a plan B, and everybody that knows me knows I have a plan B, C, D, E, F, and G. And therefore, I'm very comfortable with the work that we're doing. And I hope in a few minutes I'll share with you some of the stuff that's coming up and some things I've just done. I really, really want to share that. because it'll give people a scope of the wide range of ways that dread story is out there. And right now it's been dense, and so I want to definitely share these things today.
Yeah, and I know the big one is, and people probably don't know this, that the old courthouse, unless you work downtown or had to go down there, didn't know it was closed. But I
Right.
didn't even realize it had been closed for 5 years. I knew it had been some years, but I'm like, wow, 5. But you
Yeah.
know, it went through this all this renovation. So that's going to be the second thing I want us to talk about. The first thing is what's coming up, you know, this weekend, and that is the thing that you're going to be doing with another great grandson of an iconic figure,
That's
and that
right.
is the great
Yes.
great grandson of Nat Turner. Wow, talk about that.
Yes, I will. And you know, you saw me looking funny, like, oh, what's she talking about? Because there's so much going on. I had to stop and think of what
I
is this week and what are we doing?
know.
But no, I'm excited about this too, because people followed us or heard me before. I'm sure you've heard me talk about the Dred Scott Presents Sons and Daughters of Reconciliation. And he, along with the enslaved woman Celia, whose ancestor lives here, I'm sorry, descendant lives here as well. But he is going to be at the Marshfield Cherry Blossom Festival with me on this Friday, April 25th. And this is one of our new attendees, if you will. Nat Turner's story, and I'm hoping most people recognize his name, but Nat and Dred grew up in the same county, and we believe they probably knew each other.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't
Yeah.
know that. Yeah.
Yes. Southampton, Virginia. So his story, like mine, is full of surprises and a different take on it as well. Now, you know, the history books don't tell you hardly anything, and when they do, they give you the low lights, if you will. And yet, Dr. Brian Moore is a local pastor, and he also has another work that I want him to share when he's there, about how they help the homeless here and the drug addicts here in St. Louis, and they have incredible work going on. But his story about Nat Turner has a whole different perspective than the one that you normally read. So we're going to compare notes about them and how they took two different avenues, if you will, to secure freedom, and they both were not successful, but they both went out and went after it in their own
Yeah,
way.
yeah, yeah. And I'm sure people should know that Nat Turner, you know, was leader of a, you know, slave rebellion, and definitely had the fire burning in his belly and was able to convince other people who had the fire burning in their bellies, let's do something. So yeah, the two of
Exactly.
y'all together, man. That's just
Yeah,
that's
it's going to be wonderful. And I want to share this too, that I said Marshfield, Missouri, which is like 30 minutes before you get to Springfield on Highway 44. So, hey, if you want to see us, just get on the highway and ride down there because it's free. It'll be at the Marshfield Assembly of God Church, which is, I believe, let me see, I think I wrote the address down just in case. I don't know where I
this
wrote
is
it.
1538 West Washington,
Washington, there
in
you go.
Marshfield,
Thank
and that'll
you.
be at 4:30. Now I'm
It will.
wondering, Lynn, is there going to be any live streaming of that event for folks who may not be able to make it?
You know what? That's a good question because I'm going to say this is my 14th year consecutively doing the Dred Scott Reconciliation Forum at Marshfield, started in 2011. And we do the conferences in St. Louis. So for 14 years, and I don't remember when, but they did start to record it, and I didn't even know. I want to throw this out real quick too, because a couple of years back, I did my program on Oscar Charleston of the Negro Leagues. He's number three in batting. He's in the top five of the all-time greats in all of baseball, and he's my great-great uncle on my mother's side. So we did not know it, but they recorded that one as well, I do believe. So yes, it will be recorded live stream. I'm not positive. Okay.
Okay,
Yeah,
okay.
but it's free. And if they want to come down at 1 o'clock, the great great time sixth grandson of Thomas Jefferson, Sally Heming, will be talking in the same building at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So yeah, but it's a lot of fun, and we talk about Marshall forever, but we need to talk about other things then now
Yeah,
too.
no, that's amazing. And that it's been going on for 14 years. So I'm gonna see if I can find out if some of those we could get a hold of some of those videos. Maybe they're on YouTube or whatever, but we can
They might
get
be.
people to yeah to go there and check those out. Because those are the things that we need to be holding on for posterity. So yeah, so let's go to May 3rd, the big opening of the old courthouse, and what's going to happen there, and what we should be looking for should we be able to get down there at 10 a.m. for the ribbon cutting.
Yeah, let's hope so. Well, as you said, it's been closed for 5 years, and some of that, of course, was for COVID. But on May 3rd, the Saturday, at 10 o'clock a.m., there will be a grand reopening and ribbon cutting in front of the old courthouse on the 4th Street side, where the statue of Dred and Harriet is, the statue that our foundation commissioned and installed on June 8th of 2012. And so we will have our dignitaries there, but also a homegirl's gonna show up. Do you know about that, Jamal?
No.
Oh, y'all gonna love this.
Oh
Our own Jennifer Lewis, the actress.
my
Oh,
goodness.
yeah, you know who she is. She was on
Yes, I
Blackish. She
do.
played the mother on The Temptations, the mother of Melvin, and she's a fun person. Well, she's going to be here to help us celebrate.
Okay.
So, yeah, so at 10 o'clock, there'll be that, and then the doors will open after that, somewhere between 10:30 and 11. People will be able to go into the courthouse. And when you go in the courthouse, the whole thing has been cleaned up, spruced up, and redone. And of course, the big thing for us is the fact that Dred and Harriet now have their own full gallery. It's a big room. It's not just a half a portrait on a wall as in days past, but they have their own story being told in this beautiful gallery on the southeast side. So we will definitely be enjoying that. And there's some little fun surprises in there that even I didn't know about. But I think it's gonna be nice. And then there's another room, is about civil rights, the history of civil rights, and that's beautifully well
That
done.
that's across the hall, right?
Yeah, across the hall. And then the history of the building itself is also there. And I always have a hard time with the other one. I think it's the history of St. Louis, but I can't be sure. So don't quote me on that, or you can edit that out. But also, there is a festival until 3 o'clock at Keener Plaza, and there will be fountain side chats with me at 11:30. Kababi, who is an artist, and I don't want to give away this little fun thing that he and I did in the gallery, but I love it. And so he helped with some of the design work having to do with the courthouse renovation. So he'll be at 12:30, and then Jennifer Lewis will be a fountain side chat at 1:30. There'll be food trucks and tables and St. Louis on display in Keener Plaza. Ends at 3, but the courthouse is open until 5. So if
So
people don't
really,
leave
I'm just
before
want
and they
people to
still
know
get to
from
the dance.
10 a.m. to 5 p.m. there's going to be lots of things happening. So if you can't be there at 10, maybe you can come at 1, maybe you can come at 3, but all day long there's going to be good things happening. Now I know Kababi helped with the festival's theme. Is there a particular theme in words, or was it a visual theme?
Sure, it's visual, because I hate to say that I'm not exactly sure what that was, because when I saw that I thought, well, I know what he did with me. I don't know what the other thing was. So I guess I'll be finding that out. I'll ask. But but he's a very well celebrated artist, and his input, I'm sure, was most appreciated. And yeah, it's
And I
beautiful.
love how you all are including like St. Louis local people like Jennifer, like Kababi.
Oh yeah, it's a St.
That's
Louis
beautiful
event.
too. Yeah. So now I
Absolutely.
know that some people may or may not have known that there are mock trials that go on. Tell us a little bit about the mock trials. What if somebody wanted to check that out, what could they expect to see?
Yeah, absolutely. This has been going on for decades, okay, for serious decades. I have a picture of my father when he was a teacher in the St. Louis public school system, and he also got his law degree from Lincoln University, but he preferred the children. And he was doing this in probably the 70s, 60s, maybe even. So you can take a small group, your family, and you can join strangers, or you can have your own people and go down into the new. Oh, that's what the gallery is. It's the courthouse. Yeah, it's the mob courtroom. That's what it is. That's what it is. It is so well done. I'm totally happy with it. I'm so happy with it because there wasn't a mock trial room on the first floor until 2007 when we had the 150th anniversary, and they created one for the anniversary. Now it's just fabulous. So yes, the mock trials have been going on forever. They give you a script. You can have a speaking part or a non-speaking part, but that will continue. And a lot of people have said, oh yeah, we remember going down there as kids. And so as adults, it doesn't have to be kids. It could be anybody from, if you can talk and walk, you can do it.
I think the beauty of that is it puts you right there in the seat of what was going on with that trial. And I think
Exactly.
for a lot of people may help them to remember it better because they were being an active part of it. So
Yeah, exactly. And you have to remember there were five trials. So the first two were at the old courthouse. The third one was off on Pappin in a court building over there, which of course is gone. And then the other two were in Washington, D.C., which Dred and Harriet were not in Washington, D.C. So they're going to get a script from probably the 1850 trial where they get to decide whether or not they should be free or not. The first trial was a mistrial. So it's the 1850 trial that they're going to do, not the 1857 one.
I'm just thinking about I've done it before, but now I'm thinking about if I did it again, I might do some improv.
Uh-oh. Well, you adults. I don't know.
And that might be the trial where they get their freedom.
Well, we hope they do. My goodness. Yeah. But you know what? Let me say this. Let me say this. Just for the sake of history, they did get their freedom at the old courthouse in a trial. So when people don't like the old courthouse, and that has come up in the past, because they did sell slaves on the steps, but Dred and Harriet absolutely got their freedom from 12 white men in that courthouse as well.
And I think
That's a
we have to
fact.
emphasize that because I think that's the lesser known fact that 12 white men did that. Because I think what we often
Absolutely.
hear is the Supreme Court's ruling, particularly Judge Taney's particular ruling, and that's
And
what we
that's what.
remember.
That's right. That's right. Because that's the one that affected everything. That was the last ruling. That was the final word. That was it. Yeah. Exactly. But let me tell you where I went last week. This was real special. I got invited to the DC Civil War Roundtable monthly meeting as their speaker. And this was by the Sons of Union Veterans, but the location was very special. Most people, including myself and people who live in DC, friends of mine, didn't even know that there was such a thing as President Lincoln's cottage. He has a cottage where he lived when they went to DC. And that's where he drafted the Emancipation Proclamation. So I got to give my talk in that house, which is, of course, now a museum. And there's a draft of his draft of the Emancipation Proclamation, but the original desk is still there and the house has been preserved. So that was a very special opportunity. And shortly we'll have a few pictures for our website for that. But just knowing that he had this lovely space to live in, and now you can go in and see it and see the surroundings that he was in when he thought about how he would write that document that helped free us. It was part of the process.
Is it in actual DC or in Maryland or Virginia?
No, right there in DC, up on the it's like up high, up, kind of like on a hill. And you can see Capitol Hill from there. It's like a line of sight from there. Yeah. Yeah. So that was
That
wonderful.
is a well-kept secret.
It is. It really is.
Any
I'm
times
putting the
as I've
word
been to
out.
DC,
Yeah.
yeah,
Yes. Yeah.
wow.
And also last week, and probably a couple of days after I got back. How many of our friends in St. Louis know that this year in 2025, it's a celebration of Sumner High School 150 years? Yes. And so I think most of us know the history of keeping it open. So
Yeah.
they do have an arts department. Jermaine Smith is the art director and the director of special events. Last week, for the first time, their group was able to do a Broadway production, and they did Dream Girls. So we have collaborated with them and found that there were some needs. And so Dred Scott Heritage Foundation is trying to help enhance some of the areas of the stage and the whole auditorium area.
Yeah.
I won't go into the details right now, but we are collaborating with them. And so I just want people to recognize that Sumner High School made it to 150 years, and we
Yeah,
should acknowledge that.
that's amazing. And I was there a couple of weeks ago talking to some students who had went on a tour of Black St. Louis from WashU. And so I got an update on the 150 years. And I don't know that when people look around that neighborhood, and I made a point to talk about this to the students. I said, if you look around, this was a self-contained community. So you had like the elementary school, you had Turner Middle, you had the high school, you had the churches, Antioch and some of the other historic places, you had restaurants, I mean, right there. So you in walking distance, you really didn't have to go any place. And a lot of that has been, of course, I should not forget Homer G. Phillips Hospital. So you really
And the
had
Poro
what you
Building.
need.
The
Yes,
Poro
yes,
Building.
yeah.
I love
So
it.
it's just so much history there that is has been, in some cases, left to its own devices, and nature is taking over. But there's got to be, and there's some people who obviously got a will and got some energy and even some resources. But I don't know how you, for example, reopen Turner Middle and the elementary schools based on the decreasing enrollment of the St. Louis public schools. But certainly, could they not be repurposed in some other kind of
Repurpose
way,
exactly.
so that you try, at least you may not have the same thriving community back in the 50s and 60s,
No, you don't
but
know.
you will have some semblance of a community that I think is pretty much have been, decimated. But it is a lot of history right there in the Ville area that I think only the people who live there really truly can appreciate it. But it is one of the gems of
It is.
communities of St. Louis. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it my I was born, then I was born and brought to my grandmother's house, which was just on the corner of Sumner High School on Pendleton, and directly across the street from the Poro Building. Directly. My dad went to law school there. He walked out his door, went across the street, and walked in their door.
When I
And
said walking distance, I didn't mean like
mean,
that.
like, look, come on. It was like five
Yeah, he
steps
literally was going across the street, huh?
literally across the street. Yeah. But listen, there's a couple other quick things that I want to share
Okay.
with you as well. And we have a few more minutes, I think we
Yeah,
do.
yeah.
Yeah. So last week the US magistrate judges had their national workshop here, and Judge Noel Collins was kind enough with Judge Stanley Boone, he's from California, to invite me to be their plenary speaker for the judges who had a national conference here. In the last couple of months, we spoke for the National Council on History Education and the Missouri Council for Social Studies, both having their major conferences in St. Louis, both asking to hear the Dred Scott story. Those were well attended and well done. Some of the things that are coming up, however, aside from, again, our May 3rd program at the courthouse, we're going to also. I've just been asked, but there's going to be a naturalization ceremony at the Old Courthouse in the month of May. So whether I'm there or not, I think that's going to be awesome. And if people have never been to one, it's a beautiful thing to see. It really is. And so Jackie Joyner Kersee, we're looking at collaborating with them for their summer camp program as well. And oh my goodness, it just goes on. That's the last thing I want to tell
So
you.
the one,
Oh yeah.
wait a minute, I'm go back one step. Is that going to be in the rotunda of the courthouse?
Oh yes. Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
That's where they always are. And the acoustics are so well in there as well. Yeah. Right. The Racial Unity Network in St. Louis is very active as well. They're going to be doing things on Juneteenth. I'll just let you have your audience look that up. But they're also asking me to do a bus tour in November, as I am now on one of their committees. We have Challenging History in St. Louis, which is part of the JNPA board committee. It's an offshoot. We've done some really great programs, Challenging History. I would just have people go to challenginghistory.org and look up the organizations that are involved there. And Challenging History came out of us teaching from the National Park Service, the old courthouse in the arch. We did a program on teaching hard history. That's what we actually called it at first. And then we eventually decided, well, let's finalize the name. It became Challenging History. And so much has happened and is happening. Even now, we're doing, starting tomorrow, training sessions on how to do storytelling for difficult stories. So, those of us who are organizations of history or specifically museums and places like Grant, all those kind of institutions, the History Museum, and so forth, who are telling stories, are going to be getting some additional training on how to do that in a more interactive way. And just keep up with the times and the things that are going on. November the 8th, last thing, unless you have more, I'm just going to say we have had our Dred Scott Freedom Awards dinners in the past, and COVID really disrupted our program 2 weeks before our last dinner. So we are determined to have one this year. Now, it probably won't be a dinner, but it will be a very lovely affair in Clayton. And we do have the location, we do have the date, but we will be getting that information out over the next few months. November the 8th, Dred Scott Freedom Awards reception.
Okay. And I do want to step back because we announced on the show the bus tour, and I wasn't able to go because of a conflict. So what, tell me about that. Tell us about that. What happened on that bus tour?
Well, this one might be a little bit different, but I created a bus tour and it's really called the Dred Scott Footprints Bus Tour. And this will probably be a shorter version of it, but my bus tour normally is all day. And we have a collaboration downtown with one of our buddies. So parking is free. And then you get on the bus and we get back around four something. But everywhere you go on the Footprints bus tour is somewhere where you probably don't know that Dred Scott is. Now, some of the places you will know, but most of them you won't because you drive by them and you have no idea that he either is on a mural inside that building or there's a marker over here and all these fun places we go. So we're going to do that in an abbreviated version for the Racial Unity Network in November. But one of the fun things I've done before, and I guess I better come up with something really good now, is I usually have a surprise guest on the bus. First year that we did it, we did the morning session. We tend to go to Blueberry Hill for lunch because it can accommodate us and it's a fun place to go and all that. And there is Dred Scott over there too, by the way. That's part of why we go.
Is he on one of the stars? The
Yes,
sidewalk
ma'am.
stars?
He
Oh,
is,
okay.
and I don't mind saying that because we really never go to his star there because Blueberry Hill is here and the star is there and the bus is big and it's
Yeah,
just logistically kind of tough.
no, I hear you.
But
I hear
yes,
you.
he is on the Delmar Loop Hall of Walk of Fame. But so people were on the bus all morning and we were at lunch and they were meeting and having a great time. And then finally I announced to them, do you know that you've been hobnobbing with the Blow family all the time you've been on the bus this morning? And two darling people from that family who worked with me forever, and one just passed away, but they were on that bus tour and people had no idea. And so I've had
Wow.
other guests, and last year, this, what are we in?
We're
Last year,
2025.
2024. Yeah, I had, okay, hold on. I don't want to say the wrong instrument. I think she played I want to say a saxophone, had a saxophone player on the bus. And when we went to Harriet's Hill, we had a little performance up there for Harriet's new
Okay.
tombstone, because we know exactly where she is. So it just depends, on what I work out, but it's usually some fun guest that's always on the bus. Now people are going to be trying to figure out who's on the
Yeah. Who you
We're
next to
not going to
me?
tell. We're not going to tell. Nope. Got to
Yeah.
wait till the great reveal
Yeah.
comes. But yeah, we
Wow.
have a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems like almost every month you all are going to be having something.
Oh,
So,
goodness.
give people the website so they can keep up with this stuff.
That's a
I
good
know there's
idea.
one website that then directs you to another one, and I always go to the old one first, but
I know. We found that out when we looked at our numbers. We were shocked how many people still go to the other one. The first one was from 2006 to 2016, and then we just couldn't maintain the back end. So we went to WordPress in 2016, and that's dreadscottlives.org. www.dreadscottlives.org. And the one before, which has so much history on it as well, is the Dred Scott Foundation.org. That redirects you to the other one, but you can feel comfortable to go through it. It is active, it is alive, but it's not updated.
And for some reason I have in my head the foundation more so than the
I
Dred Scott
know.
Lives, but I always know when I go there it's going to redirect me to the most
Yeah,
current website, the
that's
active
good.
voice site.
We
So
appreciate that.
all of this that we're saying, you can go to the website, check it out, get more details. But some of the things that are coming up, I will have on my website as well, jamalarogers.com.
Oh,
So,
thank you.
no, you can't miss the details. You're going to get it some way or the other. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see some of this on social media, probably in the St. Louis American, of all the things that are going to be going on. So, just a lot of stuff. And I just love hearing about it because it lets me know that the vibrancy around the foundation and the people who are involved are so committed to this. So I'm just hoping that there's another generation coming after you all that
Yes.
understands the priceless value of this couple and what they did and all that has evolved around it, because now it's almost like this little empire. Because when you say the bus went to all these different places where there's some mention or something, the footprints. Like I'm curious as to all of that, because I'm thinking
Yeah.
only at the old courthouse,
See, that was my first thing. If some of know Sarah that used to be with the genealogy group, and she said, "What are you going to do? Take him to the old courthouse in the cemetery?" And I said, "Why don't you come on the bus and see?" And three times I checked with her, and she was nodding her approval. At the end, she said, "You sure got me. Boy, that was awesome." And she had no idea. And so I love it. And I'll be honest with you, there isn't enough time to even do it. I'm rushing the whole time. I'm rushing the whole time. But I also
Yeah, because
share
that
it
was an
with them.
all-day thing that I mean it included like lunch, but still.
And we share where he is around the country, and that's fun as well. Yeah, on the bus. Yeah. So I definitely, and people have booked me for baby showers and family reunions and different things like that. So that's another way that people can have their own bus tour. And maybe it doesn't even have to be on a bus. So let me
Place
check into that.
that Dred was born, do they have lots of stuff like this? Like what you all got here in St. Louis? Is
You
there
know,
even a marker or
yeah.
something?
Actually, I have to say Virginia has done a good job of doing that. There is a highway marker there for the Blow family and Dred Scott. That's one thing, and that's how I actually met them. That's a story to share sometime. Virginia has also put a new monument up, and Dred Scott's face and his story is one of 10 around the base of this monument. But it's a beautiful statue of an African American man being freed, just freed, and his wife holding the baby, and they are free, and they're there. It's really, really beautiful. I think it's on my website. I think I have it on my
Oh,
website.
okay.
So even though the man represents all of the formerly enslaved, and 10 other Virginians are honored on the base. So literally his face is there as well. But yeah, and then there are other things there. Virginia is just full of history though, you know.
That's good. Good to know. And I'm for our listeners here. There is, you heard Lynn talk about the monument down by the courthouse that you can go see anytime. It's right there out in the open. It has all the names there. No need to schedule anything, just go. And so I'm just always looking at the free stuff that we can go send people to where they finding out about their history and finding out about the city's history. And that's one of the freebies that you can go to and do, stay as long as you want, read every name, copy some names that you want to do more research on. You can make it an individual history project. So it's just history all around us. We just don't know it. But
Yeah,
Lynn
it's a
Jackson and her
history.
foundation are making sure that we know about Dred and Harriet Scott. So thank you for that. Yeah.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me
Any
today.
yeah, anything else coming up that we need to share with the listeners?
Oh, let's see. Well, I'm doing some stuff out of town. Unfortunately, you can't go to Colorado with me at the end of May. But what I find interesting is that the different kinds of groups that ask to hear about Dred Scott. I've shared with people that I've been requested by the Midwives Convention.
Wow.
Go figure. And in Colorado, there's a pastor, Mays, who does Teaching Tomorrow's Leaders Today. And Crazy has a name. It's in recognition of Mental Health Week. So this will be my second year going there. And fun thing is, last year when I was there, this group of women ran up to me, "We're from St. Louis." And it's like, oh my goodness. So we had fun. But and I travel a lot. So it's busier than I would have ever thought. And this, by the way, next year will be our 20th anniversary.
Okay. Seems
Yep.
longer, but yeah, okay, 20.
It's like forever, doesn't it? Oh Lord. If I survive, I will. God is good. I have to
You
give him
will.
credit
You
because he has
will.
certainly opened these doors and made things possible. We were adopted by M1 Bank as a charity of theirs, and the lovely people over there, Bon Petit, they have just been so supportive and wonderful to us. So I'm looking for supporters for our dinner and for next year's anniversary. So if anybody out there wants to talk to us about that, we would love to hear from them.
And of course, we will be announcing all of those fantastic events. And you can go to that website anytime too, just to get updated on what's coming up. Because as you hear, there's something coming up all the time. Now, Lynn, do you also include on the website the places that you're going to speak, even though they may not be here in St. Louis, so people get the breadth of like this whole project, you know?
Yeah, I do. And the hard thing is keeping it updated. Sometimes you just can't get everything up there. Like I may have told you some things you may not actually get to see up there, depends on how quickly, and it's just a handful of us doing this, I have to say. But yeah, I do for that very reason, so that you can see. In fact, the thing with DC was announced up there, and I don't know if it's up there, but I think the Colorado might be up there. If not, it will be. So yeah, definitely we do, because those events are part of the whole story.
And it's just so fascinating that, like you said, the types of groups that are asking you to speak about. You would
Yeah.
think there'd be no interest or no connection, but here they are wanting to know about it.
Yeah. I've got a couple of invitations right now for California. Oh, one of my favorite places is I was in the Mojave Desert with the junior senior high school, and it was literally in the desert. I
Yikes.
didn't see any homes.
Yeah.
It's just, where did these kids come from? It's like, seriously, it was in the desert. Had to drive almost an hour and a half to get there. But
Wow.
there's Asian Women Lawyers in San Francisco, another group that is stayed connected. So don't let anybody say that history is not important. And once you get the
Yeah.
bug, if you get bit, you're done for.
Yeah. Or don't act like it's just of the past, because you are making keeping this fresh, connecting with all kind of different groups and connecting with other forebearers of people that are important. Like, yeah, this is so wild.
I should share this. I'm sorry. I'm glad we have more time. I thought we were out of time. But listen, about 3 weeks ago, rainy season was starting. I went to Calvary Cemetery, but Remembrance Day for General Sherman. And the Sons of Union veterans called and said, could you come and join us? And we want to go over and honor Dred Scott at his new monument. So his new monument, if you have not seen it, one at all, you're missing the best street because it is beautiful, fabulous, and full of information. It's a 9-foot-high black granite monument with his image on it, even. And so we met at Calvary, and because we weren't sure about the weather, they did Sherman's part of the program indoors. But then we did come out, and the rain held. We didn't get doused, and I shared the Dred Scott story with them, and mostly the story of the cemeteries, because that's
Right,
not his first burial place. And
right,
so the
right.
people were wonderfully attentive and just beautifully honoring to him. And I thought it was really sweet for them to want to add him to their day. So
Absolutely,
that was another
absolutely.
nice thing. Yeah,
Yeah.
sometimes you just get a call and all of a sudden it's like, well, next week we're getting ready. Can you come?
Yes. Let me see if I can squeeze another something into my schedule.
Yes, but it's just been an overwhelming blessing. I can't even tell you. So I thank God for the opportunity to keep this alive, and it has inspired many other people to do their own thing, that's for sure. I was at Paraquad not long ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was very wonderful. Yep, that was another good one. So I'm sorry, but they just, it's just been busy.
Yeah,
But
busy and continue to spiral out there in new ways and to do new people. So that's always good. Lynn Jackson, great great granddaughter of Dred Scott. Thank you for stopping by and sharing the story, giving us the update on what's coming, and we will continue to update for the May 3rd. We got another show before May 3rd, but this coming up is the Marshfield Assembly of God site where the two historic roads to freedom, this one include Dr. Brian Moore, who is the great great grandson of Nat
Nat
Turner.
Turner.
So you're going to have two of those dynamic icons together that are being talked about. So thank you for what you do, and thank you for sharing with us today.
It's always delightful to talk to you. You're easy to do. Thank you,
Thank
Jamala. Take care. God
you.
bless you.
Thank you. I have a few announcements to make. There's a lot going on the end of this month and going into May. This from April 8th to May 23rd has been Shutter and Sound at the Griot Museum of Black History. So there have been a number of activities within that. And so one of them was last week. So that was Family Fun Day. But what's coming up is on May 3rd is going to be the Smooth Jazz performance with Marvin Cockrell. And so that will be like a nice little set from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Griot, 2505 South St. Louis Avenue. But the Shutter and Sound Jazz Photography is going on continuously. So that's from April 8th to May 23rd. So get by there and see the photography of Bob Willoughby. It's exceptional. And then they will continue on with the smooth jazz performance on May 3rd. The other thing that's coming up, and this is something that I'm involved in, on next Tuesday, April 29th, me and some of my Black worker women folks are going to be doing a webinar. This is part of a webinar series on Black women workers, where we are really centering the Black working class. So myself and one of my sister warriors, Ashaki Benta, who's with Black Workers for Justice, we will be having a conversation next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You need to register. It's a webinar. It's free. We will have that information on my website, jamalarogers.com, but that's coming up next day. The other thing that's coming up, because it's all about the workers, we know that they are trying to take back the minimum wage, earned sick leave that we passed as voters back in November. The Missouri State Legislature is trying to take that back. So we need to protect and defend what we already have won. So there's going to be a workers' rally on May 3rd. This is also May 3rd. Generally, things are on May 1st, which is International Workers' Day, but whatever reason, it's going to be the 3rd. And so we will be joining Missouri Workers Center to do that. That will also be up on the website. Later on, I guess in the early part of May, and I'm not going to announce those now because we got a little time to do those, but I did want you to know about the set that's coming up with Scott folks. That's this week, the 25th, and then next Tuesday, a panel on Black working class, and third is in celebration of International Workers' Day, and in defense of, the minimum wage and paid sick leave, we will be having a rally to make people aware of what's going on and how they can support that struggle. And last but not least, we will have all this month and next month is the Shutter and Sound exhibit by jazz photography of Bob Willoughby. And we will have a smooth jazz concert on May 3rd from 6 to 9. All of that happening at the Griot. This is Jamala Rogers, your host, your humble host, and I expect to see you on the battlefield. Thank you for listening.
We've got to do it right now.